Today's shir is Masechta Gittin, Daf Yud Aleph, Masechta Kedushin, Daf Yud Aleph, and we will begin on Daf Yud Amud Beis, 13 lines from the bottom, Ravina Omar. Our Gemara begins with the Shaila that we discussed at yesterday's shir, which was Bia. What does Bia accomplish? Erisin Isa on the Suin Isa. And as we explained, the Gemara's question was, does the one act of Bia that a husband does to a wife, can it accomplish both Erisin and Nisuin? And the Gemara attempted with different rayas to answer this question, frankly unsuccessfully at this point. We don't have a final answer to this question. But in the course of attempting to answer the question, the Gemara brought down a number of different brises, mishnayis and brises. The last issue that the Gemara had brought in its attempt to answer this question was a dialogue between Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira and Rabbi Yochanan ben Bagbag regarding an arusa ability, who's an arusa to a kohen, may she or may she not eat truma. And the Gemara did not, according to the version of that dialogue, have a proof to the question that we're asking. The Gemara now, however, takes a whole different approach, says Ravina, to that dialogue between Ben Bagbag and Ben Beseira, which, if anything, proves that Bia only creates a situation of Erisin. Ravina says as follows, regarding the basic question, does Arusa eat truma or not? Says the Gemara, Midaraisa Mifshe Pshitale Midaraisa, it's obvious, the Achla. Everybody agrees that Arusa eats truma Midaraisa. The question that Ben Bagbag and Yehuda Ben Beseira were discussing was Midarabonim Lushalachle. The question is, does she eat truma even Midarabonim? Vachi Shalachle, and this was what Ben Bagbag sent Rabbi Yehuda. Shemati Alecha, I heard you say, Sha'ata Oima Arusa Bas Yisrael Lechels B'Truma, that you hold an Arusa eats Truma. V'lechaish L'Simpon, and you're not concerned regarding Simpon. Simpon, as we've been explaining, means that is there a reason to be concerned that this woman, this wife, has some sort of a blum, has some sort of a blemish, and that because of that blemish, when the husband discovers it, he will say that he did not want to marry her. It's a mekach tos. It turns out that she was therefore never the wife of Yisrael, and therefore never entitled to truma. The Mefarshim explained that the word simpoin means shiver, a receipt. And just like a receipt is proof of canceling of the debt, so too does a simpon, this mum, prove that she was never his wife. So Rabbi Ben Bagbag said to Rabbi Yehuda Ben Beseira, you obviously are not concerned about Simpon. Shalachlei, said Rabbi Yehuda Ben Beseira back to Ben Bagbag, V'ata i'ata oimaken, and don't you agree with me? Muksukani b'cha, I know sh'ata b'ka b'chad v'tayra, you're a great Talmud Chacham, lidrish b'ka v'chaymer i'ata yedeya, and therefore can't you learn a ka v'chaymer, which would say, ma shivcha kananis, if a shivcha kananis, sh'en bi'asa machilas v'truma, bi'a, is not a method through which an owner acquires a shifcha kananis, and therefore, even though the Torah tells us kinyan kaspoy, that the kinyan kaspoy of an owner who is a kohen are entitled to eat truma, that certainly doesn't apply to a shifcha kananis who was bought through bia. For bia is not a method through which a shifcha kananis is acquired. However, kaspa, if an owner, the kohen, buys a shivcha kananis with money, machilas b'truma, she's entitled to truma. V'lachashinun, and we're not concerned l'simpoin, we're not concerned that the owner may discover that there's some sort of a problem with the shivcha kananis, and therefore he will invalidate the purchase, and therefore she should not be allowed to eat truma. Zu, so certainly in the case of an arusa, should be also machilos b'truma, where if the husband has bia, he certainly, she eats truma, and a din shekasfa machilos b'truma, certainly the kesef should be able, if a husband did kedusha kesef with a wife, machilos b'truma, she should be allowed to eat truma, v'lo yinechesh simpan, and we have no reason to worry about simpan. So the way Rashi and Tosfos elaborates on this somewhat, explains it as follows. Certainly before a husband does bia in his wife, even if she's an arusa, he makes sure that there are no mumin. So therefore, there is no concern for simpan. So if a shifra kananis, where there is no concern for simpan, is allowed to eat truma, so too by a wife, there is no concern. But ask the Rajba and the Marit the obvious question. We just explained, as Tosfos teaches us, the reason we don't have to be concerned is because a husband, before he does bia, makes sure that there's no simpan, that there is no blemish with his wife. How does that impact, and how does that teach us regarding Kedusha Kesef, that perhaps he doesn't make sure that there's no mumim with her, and therefore she should not be allowed to eat truma? So as the Mefarshim explained, that is exactly the point of the Kal V'Chomer. The point of the Kal V'Chomer is that by a shifcha, we see that just because there's kedusha, just because he buys her with kesef, even though there is no checking, and as the Mefarshim go on to explain, there is no moment to check, because there's no moment of marriage at buying a shifcha kananis, we see that once she's purchased with kesef, she becomes the kohen shifcha kananis. Similarly, as soon as there's a kedusha kesef, we should not be concerned for simpan, and therefore she should be allowed to eat truma. However, does Rabbi Yehuda himself agree? Avama, what should I say? Shreyam Chachomim, Chazal taught us, Arusa Bas Yisrael ain't achels b'truma, and Arusa Bas Yisrael doesn't eat truma, until actually chuppa occurs, b'shem de Ula, because of what Ula said. Ula set forth another reason why a Arusa doesn't eat truma. The concern is gzeira shem tachel lachav lachoisa. The arusa, as long as she's at home, as is the case of an arusa, is going to perhaps give her brothers and sisters who are Yisraelim, and therefore may not eat truma. She may give them truma, and therefore Ula said that even though by right an arusa ought to eat truma, Chazal made gzeira that she should not. This is the approach that most Mefarshim take to learning our Gemara. And this is actually the approach that we were going to follow. I'm just going to mention that the Pnei Yeshua has a very innovative pshat to his whole Gemara. He says that there's a rule that if the Torah specifically says that something can and should be done, it's difficult to understand and difficult to accept that Rabbanim would say not to do it. And therefore, the Gemara's question is that if the Torah says Kinyan Kaspoy, that an Arusa is entitled to eat Truma, how could Chazal have come and said that she should not eat Truma? The answer is that we're not worried about the Arusa, because if the Torah says that she's allowed to eat Truma, so that is the din. The concern, however, is that others who are not in the category of a wife will see that by a shifcha kananis, for example, if we allow her to eat truma, that will think that everyone who works for a kohen, even if they're not the kinyan kasboy of the kohen, they should be allowed to eat truma. On that, the Gemara asks, and at that the Gemara brings the Kal V'Chomer, that if by Shifra Kananis, where if we turn out to be a Balas Mum, and there is no connection between the owner and the Shifra, still we're not Choshish for Simpoin, certainly by an arusa, where the band is a stronger band, she should be allowed to eat truma. That is the Gemara's question. And the Gemara's answer is that by right she should be, but here there's a special gzeira of shematachel lachel lachoysa. Uben Bagbag. Ben Bagbag disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda ben Pseira, and he says we can't prove from a shifcha kananis to an arusa, because shim b'im b'avodim leslay. Ben Bagbag tells us there is no concept of simpin b'avodim, because, explains the Gemara, if it's an obvious blemish, so hakachazilei, when somebody buys this servant, he sees that this servant has this problem, and he obviously accepts it. If it's a blemish in a place that's not seen, it doesn't really make a difference to the owner if his servant has that type of blemish. He just needs him to work for him, and therefore it doesn't really bother the owner if the eved has this defect. Nimtza gavnas of kiustos, if it turns out that the eved is a thief or kidnapper, higiyai, this would not invalidate the sale, because one who buys a slave should be assume that that is what slaves are, that they're thieves or kidnappers. We have explained that kivyustus means a kidnapper, which is Rashi's pshat. Tosfos, however, explains that kivyustus means a mesachik bekuvya, someone who gambles. And Tosfos asks a very interesting question on his own pshat. Tosfos quotes the Medrash and Bereishis Rabba that says that when Yaakov had that battle with the Malach, and the Malach told him, V'yoyme shalcheini ki ola ha-shacha. And Yaakov tells the Malach, V'chiganev ato, are you a thief? A kivyastas ato, shatis misyare min ha-shachar, that you're concerned about daylight? So says Tosfos, according to Rashi's pshat, that a kivyastas is a kidnapper, so you can understand why a kivyustus would not want to be seen in daylight. He's obviously a wanted man. But if pshat in kivyustus is a gambler, so is a gambler scared to go out during the day? So it's a question on Tosfos' pshat. So Tosfos answers that typically gamblers feed their addiction by constantly borrowing money from people, and there are a lot of people that he owes money to, and he's hiding from those people, and that's why, even if we'll explain kivyustus means a gambler, we could understand why he would not want to be seen by day. My amrit, what concern is left? List the mazuyan, that he's an armed robber, or muktav lamachlus, he's been sentenced to death by the government. Hanu kol islahu, such people, everybody knows about them, and certainly, and here too, we have a machloikus Rashi and Tosfos how to understand. According to Rashi, the explanation is, so since this is a well-known fact, so obviously he accepted upon himself that this person has this problem, and therefore that this person has this issue, and therefore he can't claim that the sale should be invalidated. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. Tosfos says that this is very uncommon that a person should be muchtav l'malchus or list of mezuyin, and therefore we don't have to be concerned. What forces Tosfos to disagree with Rashi is because Tosfos quotes a Gemara Masechta Baba Basra that says that if somebody buys an eved, he does, and the eved turns out to be a list of mezuyin or muchtav l'malchus, he does have a right to say that the sale is invalidated. So clearly, Rashi's pshat, that the person could have never claimed, I didn't know, and there's no claim again, and I knew, and therefore he accepts it, is incorrect. How do we explain Rashi's pshat with the Gemara in Masechta Baba Basra? So Tosfos himself quotes Rabbeinu Eliyahu, who says that perhaps the Gemara Masechta Baba Basra is referring to a situation before he paid for Eved. So before he paid for Eved, it turns out that the Eved is a Muchtav L'Malchus, a list of Mezuyin, he has a right to give him back. Algamar, however, is referring to a case after he already paid. There he doesn't have that claim. The Ramban answers that that exactly is the machloikis between our Gemara and the Gemara Babasra is exactly the machloikis between Ben Bagbag and Ben Beseira. Ben Beseira, who says that there is simpoin by Avodim, that's the opinion of the Gemara Masechta Babasra. Our Gemara, however, follows the opinion of Yehuda Ben Beseira that there is no simpoin by Avodim. The Meiri explains that the Gemara Masechta Babasra is referring to a situation that the Eved came from a different city, where there the owner could really make a fair claim. I wasn't aware of this issue that it was a list of Mezuyin or Muchtav L'Malchus. Our Gemara, however, is referring to an Eved from this city, and if the Eved had this issue, everybody would have been well aware of it. Ask the Gemara, Michti. At this point, Bein Lamar, both according to Yehuda Ben Beseira and according to Ben Bagbag, Loy Achla. She's not allowed to a Koyin, a Rusa, may not eat Truma. So, my Venayu, what is the practical nafkamina between their approach? According to Ben Bagbag, the reason is because of Simpoin. According to Yehuda Ben Beseira, the reason is because Shem Tashka Lachel Lachaisa. But what is the practical halachic nafkamina? Answer to Gemara, Ikabenayu, Kibel Mosav Halach. So first we're going to explain the Gemara according to Rashi's explanation. The Kibel Mosav Halach represent three different examples. Kibel means that the husband accepted upon himself, no matter what type of mum his wife may have, he's going to marry her. So then there is no concern about simpoin, but there is still the concern of Shematashka Lachel Lachaisa. Mosav Halach is referring to a case that Mosar Ha'av as Habas L'Shluch Ebal, the father gave over the daughter already to the Shluch Ebal, that's Mosar. Halach means that the Hochu Shluch Ebal and Shluch Ebal, that the Shluch Ebal accompanied the Shluch Ebal to take the girl to the husband. So here, the concern of Simpoin remains, but the concern of Shematashka L'Achel L'Chaisa no longer remains because she's not together with her brothers and sisters. Tosfos holds that Mosav HaHolach should not be explained as two separate cases. Rather, it's one case, that the father gave over the daughter to Shluch Ebal, and he went together with them. And that's why there's still a concern of Simpoin, because since the father is accompanying them, they will not have the chutzpah to start examining the girl if she has any blemishes. But according to Tosfos, were the father not to accompany them, then there is no concern not for Shematashka L'Achel L'Chaisai, because they're clearly not there, nor for Simpoin, because these shlichim, given that the father isn't there to protect his daughter, will check that she has no mumen. The Rashba explains that Kibbel Mosav HaHolach actually represents one case, that the father accepted Kedushin for his daughter, immediately handed over the daughter to the Shluch Ebal, and went along with them. So the concern of Shematashka L'Achel L'Chaisa doesn't apply, but the concern of Simpoin does apply. There are Mefarshim that have a different approach. Because the question is, when we speak about Shematashka L'Achel L'Chaisa, the question is there only concern about our brothers and our sisters, or are there other concerns for other family members? Some Rishonim explain there's only concern about brothers and sisters who are ketanim. Since they're ketanim, and they're not aware that they're not allowed to eat truma, so she may give them truma, and they won't be alert enough to say, we're not allowed to eat this. But other family members, we don't have to be concerned. Other Rishonim have explained that when we use the word Shematashka L'Achel L'Chaisa, we don't mean specifically a brothers and sisters, neither do we specifically mean if they're ketanim. Even if they're gedolim, we have reason to be concerned. And that's the way to understand the Gemara. We're not concerned, the Mefarshim explained, that she's going to give the shlichim truma. These shlichim are gedolim, these shlichim are not her relatives, they're not her friends. However, if a father accompanies her, we're concerned that she's going, if she gets truma, she may give some of that truma to her father. However, if her father doesn't go along, so there's no concern that there's anybody there that she'll give truma to, the concern of shematashka lachel lachaysa doesn't exist. At this point, we're ending the sugya with the question of be erison aysa and the sun aysa. We don't have a final resolution to the question that we began discussing in the previous year. However, it seems from the Rishonim that the halacha is that Bia does not do Nesuin. Bia does only Eris. Says the Gemara, we learned in our Mishnah a machloikis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, how much is the minimum that can be used to be Mekadosh Isha with Kedusha Kesef. And Bekesef Hashem and Bedinah. Bekesef Hashem, I said, the minimum amount was a dinner. And the Gemara, beginning with today's Shir, and Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, continuing into tomorrow's Shir, is going to give us four explanation in understanding Beis Shammai's position. Ask the Gemara, Mai Tamai de Beis Shammai, what is the reason for Beis Shammai? Says the Gemara, Amar of Zera, Shekein Isha Makbedes al Atzma, a woman is careful, a woman demands a certain amount of respect, Vein Miskadeshes Bepachs Medinah, and therefore she will not agree to accept the Kedushin less than a dinner. Amar Abaya asks Abaya, Elam Ata, if so, Kigoy Banse de Rabbi Yanai, the daughters of Rabbi Yanai, the captain of the Nafshayu, who were particular about themselves, very particular about themselves, the loy mekachi repachs metarik with the dinri, and will not accept kedushin less than 3 kav of golden dinners. Hochinami, will you suggest the posh the yod of a kibla chad zuzumacher, that if one of these women accept the kedushin of a dinner from someone else, hochinami do I have a kedushin? Would you say that the kedushin is not a kedushin? It's a difficult psak, because if so, the amount of kedushin should depend on who you are, and that would lead us to a very difficult conclusion. Every woman would have a different amount to be miskadish with. Amalei, pashti yad v'kibloi kamina. If she accepted kedushin, it's obvious that that's fine enough for her. Ki kamina, the kitchen of Laila. We're referring to a case where she accepted kedushin at night. Inam de shavi shliach. And here we have a machloikus rishonim, how to understand the Gemara. Even though usually we explain Rashi's pshat first, here we're going to say Taisus pshat. Taisus says that certainly any woman who accepts kedushin, even according to Beis Shammai, if she accepts that amount of kedushin, even if it's less than a dinner, even if it's as little as a pruta, the kedushin will be a kedushin. Beis Shammai is referring to a situation where the kedushin was at night, or the kedushin was through a shliach, that's when Beis Shammai said the din is, that a dinner is required. When we don't have a clear indication that the woman is willing to accept less, or insisting on more, the kedushin will be acceptable with a dinner. That's why Tosfos explains the Gemara. Rashi explains the Gemara differently somewhat than Tosfos, because according to Rashi, the Bansai de Rabbi Yanai indeed will never be mikudeshes with less than a tarak of the dinri, since that's what they expect, that's what is always required for the kedushin to be valid. The Mefarshim obviously ask on Rashi. The problem with Rashi's pshat is imkei nosatet v'recha l'shiurim, that Bansid Rabbi Yanai, their minimum kedushin is takva the dinre, and everyone else's minimum kedushin is a dinner, and they have different women with different shiurim, which leaves us with a very complicated situation of nosatet v'recha l'shiurim, everybody having a different shiur. So Mefarshim explained to try to defend Rashi's pshat. Is the Sakat V'rech L'Shurim means that everybody has completely different shear. But here, given that everybody has the same minimum shear, that it's Kedushin B'Laila, or it's Kedushin Ayidei Shliach, the shear is always minimally, according to Beshamay, a dinner. We don't have a situation of Nesatet Verecho Lishur. There's a question that the Mefarshim discuss, if Kedushin may be done at night. The reason the Rishonim, the Reim, the Merimins, both discuss this question, because as we learned in Masechta Gittin, a get cannot be given at night, because a get is considered like a din Torah, and since a din Torah can't be done at night, neither can a get be done at night. And therefore, in fact, says Rabbi Akiva Eger, that a Kedushin should preferably be done during the daytime. In fact, the Knesset HaGdoila says, because of this opinion, he stopped being Mesadik Kedushin at night in his town. As the Mefarshim, our Gemara is a clear indication that Kedushin may be done at night. Because our Gemara spoke about the case of the Mekatsha Balayla. So we see that Kedushin can be done at night. So I saw two explanations why this Gemara is not a question on that opinion, that Kedushin should only be done by day. One is when the Gemara says here, the Mekatsha Balayla, it doesn't mean at night. It means in a dark place where the woman doesn't exactly see the amount of coins that are being used. Another pshat that the Shara Melech suggests is that, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, what is the reason that, what is the comparison between Kedushin and Gittin? The Yotzev HaHaisa, it was said regarding Kedusha Shtar. So it's Kedusha Shtar, he says, that should not be done at night. Kedusha Kesef may be done at night. Here we're referring to Kedusha Kesef, obviously. We're talking about the coins. Kedusha Kesef, everybody would agree, may be done at night. In fact, it's interesting to note that I saw that Rabbi Avadya Yosef and the Shaul Shuvas Yabia Oimer suggest that Kedushin, because of the opinion that we just quoted, Kedushin should preferably always be done by day. I did, however, see from the Klaus Magareba and the Shaul Shuvas Divrei Yatziv, where he says that our minig is to do Kedushin by night, and to do it specifically by night under the stars, that we're giving a bracha to the chasim v'kala, they should be like the kochavei ha-shamayim, they should multiply like the stars of the sky. Rabbi Yosef gives us another explanation in Beis Shammai. Rabbi Yosef Omer, Tamayid Beis Shammai, ki Rabbi Yehuda Amar Vasi. Dor Rabbi Yehuda Amar Vasi, kol kesef ha-omer v'toyru. Whenever the Torah uses the word kesef, it means kesef tzuri. Kesef tzuri is from a place called Tzur. V'shal devreyem, wherever the Torah speaks about, wherever the Rabbonon require kesef, require the money be spent, be used, it means kesef medina. The difference, as the Rishonim explain, between kesef tzuri and kesef medina, is that kesef tzuri, as we've explained many times, in those days, currency, the coins actually had the value of the metal in them. Kesef tzuri were coins made out of pure silver, whereas kesef medina were coins that were made out of a mixture of 7 parts copper and 1 part silver. And therefore, and it will become clear at the end of our Shir Mitzvah today, kesef tzuri is 8 times as valuable as kesef medina. And says Rabbi Yosef, whenever the Torah speaks about kesef, it means this silver coin, which is the silver dinar, which is, as the Rishonim explained, the typical coin that is meant when we speak about the kesef tzuri, because a pruta is actually a copper coin. And that's why, since the kesef that we speak about for kesef kedushin is something that we learn out from the Torah, we spoke at the beginning of the Masechta, Kicha Kicha, a Gzeres Shava that we learned from Stei Ephraim to teach us that kesef is a legitimate way of affecting Kedushin, so it's a deraisa, and Rav Yehuda Rav Asi tells us that then whenever we're referring to kesef but deraisa, we need to use a dinner. Gufa, says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda Rav Asi, kol kesef ha'omer b'Torah, whenever the Torah speaks about kesef, it's kesef tsuri. So the vrayim, when the rabbanim speak about kesef, it means kesef medina. Says the Gemara, v'klolahu, is this a hard and fast rule? Vray taina. We know that the Torah teaches us about a shchiyav shvua called moedav mixus. As we have explained in previous shurim, if someone approaches me and says I owe him money, and I completely deny the claim, midaraisa hamotz mechavera olav haraya, and I'm absolved. However, if I'm a moedav mixus, if I say I don't owe you as much as you claim I owe you, but I only owe you part of what you claim, the Torah uses the words ashiyomer kiuzeh, which refers to a situation of moed b'mixus, where the Torah tells us v'nikra of balabayis alolokim. I have to make a shvua. So says the Gemara. The Mishnah says imasech the shvus kitne shel areyu kesef akem lishmar. But tonight we learned in the Mishnah masech the shvus hadayonim taina. The taina has to be shtei kesef for a dosh of a pruta. And actually, the Gemara Masech Teshuvos on the Aflamates on the Beis quotes a machloikis of Rav and Shmuel on how to understand the Mishnah. Rav understands that when the Mishnah says that it has to be two more minimum, it's referring to the denial. The part of the claim which is being denied that I owe must be at least two more. Therefore, the claim obviously has to be a larger sum. However, Shmuel says that the minimum refers to the actual claim. That if the claim as a whole is two more, and then the denial could be for as little as a pruta, there's a chiyuv of moedav mixus. Now, here we're talking about, here the Torah uses the word kesef. Rav Asi just taught us that whenever the Torah uses the word kesef, it means a dinner. So he asked the Gemara, how can we say that it means a dinner when the Gemara, where the Mishnah Masechta Shvuos clearly says it means two dinarim? Answers the Gemara, there is a different situation. Because Hosom Dumya de Kalim. The Torah uses the words Kitin Ish al Re'eyu Kesef oy Kalim Lishmar. So since the Torah uses the word Kalim, Ma Kalim is a minimum of two. Kalim Shnayim, Af Kesef Shnayim, which means even though typically the shear indeed is only one dinner, here the Torah goes out of its way by comparing Kesef to Kalim to say it means minimum two. And now the Gemara says, since the Pasuk is connecting Kesef or Kalim, we also learn to the other side, Oma Kesef has to be a Dova Chashev, it has to be something significant, af kalim have to be a davar chashuv. And accordingly, if there was a claim about indeed two kalim, but the two kalim were insignificant kalim, let's say we're talking about two pens, then the halacha would be that indeed there is no chiv of shvu of moed of mixes, because it has to be something significant. Ask the Gemara. Vrei Meiser. What about Meiser? The Ksiv, where the Torah says, V'tzartam Ketzer B'yotcha. We know that during the years that one is obligated to give Meiser Sheni, the Torah tells us that a person should collect the fruit of the Meiser Sheni and bring it up to Yerushalayim. However, the Torah recognizes that sometimes it's hard to transport all of that produce to Yerushalayim. So the Torah speaks about redeeming it, and the Torah uses the words v'tzarto hakesef biyotcha v'tanan ha'pirat sel v'mas ma'isisheni. If somebody now has a number of small prutos, small coins, and he wants to put them all together to trade them in for a larger coin, the Mishnah discusses what the din is. Clearly, the Torah is teaching us that we could have a situation that we have small coins that were used to redeem the Meiser Sheni produce. Yet the Torah uses the word kesef. And Rav Asi says that whenever the Torah uses the word kesef, it should be a minimum of a dinner. So how do we have in the first place such small coins that will have been accumulated from the redemption of Ma'aseh Sheni? Answers the Gemara, Kesef HaKesef Ribo. Achlokes Mashal and the Rishash how to explain this Gemara. The Mashal explains that the Torah adds the extra HaKesef to teach us that here we don't necessarily have to redeem it specifically on a dinner, we could use smaller coins. The Rishash explains that if we review the parasha over there, we'll see that the Torah uses the word, the Torah uses the word kesef, superfluous, there's an extra kesef to teach us this din. Ask the Gemara another question. We know that the Torah speaks about a noah, that if somebody sells somebody an item and he overcharges by a sixth, it's a the mekach is bottled, the transaction is voided. If it's less than a sixth, it doesn't affect the validity of the transaction. If it's exactly a sixth, the transaction remains valid, but the overcharge should be returned. However, the Torah says that that is only regarding when people are doing business with each other. However, Hegdish, the Ksiv Nosan HaKesef HaKamoy, when the Torah speaks about the redemption of Kesef, Vamashmu, Hegdish Shavamana, that even if we have a Hegdish that's worth a mana, Shechilah Shavapruta, that was redeemed just for a Pruta, since we're not dealing between two individuals, rather we're dealing between an individual and Hegdish, Halalocha Mechulal, it's considered a valid halachic redemption. So it says kesef. And Rav Asti is saying that the minimum of kesef is at least a dinner. And it says the Gemara, Hasum Nami, kesef kesef yalaf maisa. We learn kesef for maisa. However, the Rav Shach explains that specifically when we say that hegdish that's worth a mana, we could even redeem on a pruta or less, that's only if it's an item of Hegdish. That means if somebody was Magdish, a table or whatever item, object for Hegdish, that's when the halacha is that if even if you redeem it for much, much less than its value, it would be acceptable. However, let's say there is actual money. There's Hegdish money. There's a $100 bill of Hegdish, and somebody wants to redeem that $100 Hegdish bill for a dollar bill. Certainly, that's not what the Gemara would say is acceptable. Furthermore, the Turi Evan quotes a Tosfos that Masechta Temura that says that that's only when one is redeeming Hegdish himself. That if I have a Hegdish item and I want to redeem it, so Shmuel tells us la halacha that if I redeemed it even something worth a mana for a pruta, it's acceptable. But let's say there's a gizbar of Hegdish, there's a treasurer, there's an administrator of Hegdish that has Hegdish items that he's selling and he undercharges dramatically, that would not be acceptable. And as the Mefarshim explained, because when I am Magdish an item, I still retain the Zeicha Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan explains it this way. When I am Magdish an item, I retain some sort of ownership in this item. Because the halach is, I could be shoyel, I could annul the Hegdish. And therefore, that's when the halach is that if I redeem it even on something so much less than it's worth, it's acceptable. The Gizbar doesn't have that type of ownership of the Hegdish items. He doesn't have any ownership. He never had any ownership. He's just a treasurer. He's just an administrator, and therefore this din would not apply to a Gizbar. Ask the Gemara. Right, Kedush Isha. What about Kedush Diksiv? The Torah uses the words as we've learned, Kikachish Isha Baala, the Gama Kikachichim Stay Ephraim. We learned from Stay Ephraim. The Kesef could affect the Kedushin. With Talan, we learned in the first Mishnah of Amasechta. Basil Oimrim that the amount that you could use for a Kedushin is Pruto Shava Pruto. So now, are we going to say there of Asi, the Omeka base, Shammai? Are we going to have to say that Be Shammai holds like Be Shammai? El says the Gemara Yitma Hachi Yitma. Arm Yudam Ravasi, Kol Kesef, kotzuf. When the Torah speaks about a specific amount of money, the Torah says a specific amount of money must be used, it has to be kesef tsuri. V'shal devrayim, when the Rabbanim speak about a certain amount of money, they say it has to mean a kesef medina. So in other words, Rav Asi was position no longer is necessarily consistent with Beis Shammai, because the Torah doesn't specify how much money should be used for kesef kedushin. So even though it's a doraisa, here Rav Asi's rule doesn't apply, because Rav Asi's rule only applies when the Torah speaks about a specific amount. And Ritva explains what was the havamina. Ritva explains the havamina was that perhaps Rabbi Yosef, who did quote Rav Asi, did feel Rav Asi holds like Beis Shammai. Or another pshat is that it wasn't to say that Rav Asi exactly held like Beis Shammai. What the Gemara meant, says the Ritva, is that Beis Shammai's opinion is based on the concept that Rav Asi taught us, that when we're dealing with a deraisa, it means kesef tsuri. Yes, Rav Asi only said his rule when the Torah speaks about a specific amount, but Beis Shammai extends and expands Rav Asi's rule that whenever we're dealing with a concept that's effective, medaraisa, even if the Torah did not specify the amount, the halacha is that it should be used in the case of tsuri or dinner. Ask the Gemara, if that's what Rav Asi meant to say, that when the Torah speaks about a specific amount of money, that's when kesef tsuri should be used. Ask the Gemara, my kamashmalon. So then what is Rav Asi teaching us? Tanina, this is a Mishnah, a Masech Tebechairis. The Mishnah Masech Tebechairis says, Chomesh Shlom Shaben, the Chomesh Shlom that are used for pidyon haben, Shloshim Shalavid, the Torah speaks about if somebody's axe killed an Avid Kanani, the halacha is he always has to pay shloshim kesef, no matter what the value of the Avid Kanani was. Chamishim shloshim mefata, the knas of somebody violated was mefata, a girl is chamishim kesef. The meyer shel motzi shemra, if somebody was motzi shemra on his newly married wife, the knas is meyer kula b'shekel kodesh v'manat suri. So what Rav Asi taught us is an explicit Mishnah. The Ritva asks that why does the Mishnah have to separate the case of pidyon haben from all the other cases? Because the Mishnah says chomesh shloim shel ben, uses the words sela by pidyon haben, and then speaks about all the other cases and says shloim at the end. Why does the Mishnah speak about shloim by pidyon haben separately from all the other cases? So Farshim explained, as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem in tomorrow's shir, there are situations where money was devalued or increased in value, and that type of currency fluctuation has an effect on the shloim that are used for these different obligations. However, the Rishonim suggest that type of fluctuation will not affect pinyon haben, it's always the chomesh shloim. So the Gemara, you're right, this din we don't need Rav Asi to teach us, it's an explicit Mishnah. What the Mishnah, the chiddush of Rav Asi is shel devrayim, when there's kesef obligated only with Rabbanon, that there we pay kesef medina, istruchalei. That was what Rav Asi needed to teach us, the loitanan. For that is not taught in the Mishnah. The Tanya, hatekei lechaveroi, if somebody gives somebody, hits his friend in the ear, and it causes him, obviously, humiliation, so there's a chiv of paying boishis, noisen leisela. He has to pay him a seller. Chazal established, some explain where if somebody strikes a person on his ear or near his ear, that the amount of boishes is always a seller. The other Rishonim say that doesn't necessarily mean if he hits him by the ear, it could also refer to a case where he shouts into his ear. So don't explain that what does the seller mean? Ar bezuzei for zuz, for dinner, because as we explained, a seller tsuri, it has for dinner. Rather, elamai sala, what is it? Palga de Zuza. The avdi inchi, the karl palga de Zuza istri. People use the word istri both for a kesef, for sela tsuri, and both for a sela medina. As we explained earlier in our shir, the difference between a sela tsuri and a sela medina is by 8. A sela tsuri, which is pure silver, is worth 8 times more than a sell in Medina. So if a seller Tsuri has in it 4 zuz, 4 dinar, a seller Medina, which is an eighth of that, will have in it a half a zuz, a half a dinar. Both of them, however, are called an istara. And that's what the Gemara is saying, that when the halach is by Midrabanon, that you have to pay the seller, don't pay a seller Tsuri, which is 4 dinar, you only have to pay a seller Medina, which is a half a dinar.